أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we depend on Him, and we seek His forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils of our hearts and from our bad deeds. Verily, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides someone, no one can misguide him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides someone, then no one can guide him. I bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his last messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام. إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما Today's khutbah is about Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second Khalifa. Sayyidina Umar himself narrated how he became Muslim, how he converted to Islam. He said, I was one of the harshest of those opposed to the Messenger of Allah. At noon, on a very hot day, I met Nu'aym ibn Abdullah, a man of the Quraysh tribe, in one of the alleys of Mecca. He had converted to Islam, but was concealing his conversion because he was afraid of what his own people might do to him if they knew. He informed me of my sister's conversion to Islam. Now I saw Umar marching along in an angry mood, with his sword hanging by his side in a threatening fashion. To Naeem, it looked like Umar was intent to murdering someone. Naeem asked me, Umar said, "Where are you going, Umar?" Umar replied that he was going to kill the Prophet. Naeem then told me that my own sister was a Muslim. He asked me why I did not deal with her first. I thought about it and I asked, "Has she turned away from our religion?" Naeem replied that both her and her husband, Sa'id ibn Zayd, had embraced the new faith. When I heard that my sister and her husband had converted, Umar continued his story. I turned around full of anger. I went straight to her house. Umar added, "The Messenger of Allah at that time used to organize his followers into groups of one or two with a teacher. The teachers visited the new Muslims and sometimes shared food with them. The Messenger of Allah assigned Khabbab ibn al-Arat and someone else to my sister, and her husband Khabbab used to visit them and teach them the Quran. When I reached her house," Umar continued, "I knocked at the door. I heard someone ask, 'Who is it?' And I replied, 'It is Ibn al-Khattab.' Once they knew who it was, they dispersed and hid themselves in various corners of the house, forgetting about the piece of material on which was written the Quran text they were reciting. Only my sister ventured to open the door. I told her, 'O enemy of yourself, I heard you have abandoned our religion.' And then I struck her on her face. She cried and said, 'Do whatever you wish, Ibn al-Khattab, for I have embraced Islam, whether you like it or not.' I then entered and sat on a couch. I looked around and saw in a corner a piece of material with writing on it. I told my sister, 'Give this to me. What is this writing?' She replied, 'I will not give it to you, for you are not worthy of touching it. You are polluted, and only those who are pure can touch it. Moreover, I am afraid that you might not treat it with the respect it deserves.' I went out, took a full bath, returned to my sister's house, and I asked her to show me the written piece. After I assured her that I would treat it with respect, she gave it to me. I began to read and was very stirred by the words, 'In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful,' I began to shiver, and the document fell from my hands. When I recovered, I picked it up, and I read further, 'All that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth glorify Allah, and He is the Mighty One, the Wise. Whenever I uttered one of the name of Allah, I felt frightened. I shivered, and the document dropped from my hand. When I recovered, I picked it up. I resumed reading it until I complete the ayah, ending with words, "If you are believers." I said, "I bear witness that there is nothing deserving of worship other than Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Umar continued, "Those who had been hiding came out and shouted at the top of their voices, 'Allahu Akbar.' They were all very happy over the news of my conversion. They thanked Allah, congratulated me, and then said, 'O Ibn al-Khattab, be assured of good news. We heard the Messenger of Allah pray that Allah would strengthen Islam by the conversion of Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham.'" This is the story of the conversion of Umar ibn al-Khattab. His lifelong shows the commitment to Islam. He was hard on the disbeliever and soft on the believer. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that my companions are like the stars. Whichever of them you will follow, you will be guided. So here, we have a Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab, who managed a huge empire, conducted huge military campaigns. He held fast to the strict sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore met with amazing success. His conquests on behalf of Islam were unparalleled. After that, he was called upon to bring peace into the vast empire. Here again, his success was unequaled. Now, I want you to picturize this glorious event in your mind when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is about to enter Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem. But before that, let's go back and recap what led to that event. On one hand, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was ready to attack, and Khalid radiallahu anhu and other notable generals also joined Amr. The Christians had little or no hope from their fellow Byzantine Empire. Incidentally, Byzantine is the term conventionally used to describe the Roman Empire centered around the capital of Constantinople. Before the Muslims took over, although called the Roman Empire, Allah knows why, it was characterized by Greek as the official language. The Christians were well aware that whenever the Muslims conquered a city or an empire, for that matter, they had always respected the life and the property of the defeated. In addition, the Muslims had also left alone their places of worship. Under Muslims' rule, they were allowed to follow their own religion. So in order to avoid bloodshed, in short, the Christians gave in and sent a message to that effect. Abu Ubaidah, their only condition was that, and I quote, "We are ready to give in, but your Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab, must come in person and sign the treaty of peace." The Muslim generals then conveyed this message to Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now, this particular scene brings tears. On his way to Baytul Maqdis, Umar ibn al-Khattab had brought with him just one servant and one camel, for both of them for the entire journey and no anything else whatsoever unlike the present day. By the time they got to outskirts and horizon of Jerusalem, it was the time of the servant to ride the camel. The Christian priests, elders and heads alike who had gathered to greet Umar commented to Abu Ubaidah and Khalid and other generals, "The rider is obviously your Khalifa and commander of the faithful." "No," replied Abu Ubaidah, "the man on the foot and walking and holding the camel's reins is our Amir al-Mu'mineen and our commander-in-chief, whilst the rider is the servant." On a Wednesday night, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the dua, and on Thursday, Umar radiallahu anhu came into the fold of Islam. This was because Abu Bakr was beaten so badly that by evening he was near the point of death. When sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw his state, he could not hold back the tears. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Umar to become Muslim. Ten years after Umar passed away, he came in the dream of his son, Abdullah ibn Umar. He asked his father, "How goes, O father?" Wiping the sweat of his brow, Umar commented, "I have just completed the questions of the Malaika with regards to my tenure of Khalifa and settled the accounts. I still have to answer for the remainder of the civilian life." And yet this was one of the 10 Sahaba who was bestowed with good news, Mubashirin bil Jannah. The same Khalifa who used to roam the street of Medina al-Munawwara at night. You may well remember the famous incident of the old lady who had an empty pot cooking away and was surrounded by a couple of kids crying their heart out. He asked, "Ya mother, why are these children crying?" "They are hungry," the mother replied. "What is this pot doing then?" "Was that just boiling water? There is no food in the pot. It is just to make the kids think that I am cooking something." Tears rolled down Umar radiallahu anhu's eyes as he asked her, "Does Umar know of your condition?" She replied, "In that case, what business has he of becoming our Khalifa in the first place, if he doesn't even know our plight?" When hearing that, Umar immediately went to the Baytul Mal and picked up a huge sack full of provision. And as he lifted this, his manservant Aslam asked, "O master, shall I lift this for you?" To which Umar replied, "Are you going to lift my burden on the day of Qiyamah as well?" He proceeded to his house and made the cooking. This was made up of dates and cheese and others. Aslam, the servant, further narrates that Umar tried to light the fire. "I saw the smoke coming out of his beard and tears rolled down his eyes as a consequence. When the cooking was ready, he served it on a plate and fed the children. After they were fed and seeing them laughing in the children's face, he began to continue in his nightly mission of seeking out more unfortunate souls. At that junction, the mother of the children replied, "Oh, how I wish you were Amir al-Mu'mineen in place of Umar." Hearing this, Umar did not acknowledge that in fact he was Umar, but instead, with unsurpassing humility, replied, "O mother, when you meet Umar, I will be in his vicinity." I'm sure you are all familiar with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that if there was to be another prophet after me, then it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Truly, even the kuffar acknowledge that if there was one more Umar, Islam would have conquered the whole world. One more incident that is rare and you might be aware, and that is at the time Amr ibn al-As was the governor of Egypt, and his son took part in a horse race. An unknown horse rider won the horse race, and so Amr ibn al-As' son decided to beat up the winner. Seems to be a custom in the subcontinent. If you can't win, beat up your opponent. Anyhow, his father complained to the Khalifa. Umar therefore sent a message to both the father and the son that come to Medina al-Munawwara dressed in your best clothes. Amr ibn al-As thought he had done exceptionally well, that he was going to be rewarded. Umar gathered the people of Medina, and when they were all gathered, he took out his own personal whip and handed over to the son of the complainant. He said, "I want you to beat this person as long as you like, and in the same manner that he had beaten you." The beating then began until even the people of Medina felt that the justice had been done, but Umar urged the young man to continue. Yet another rare incident worth mentioning is that on another occasion during the khutbah of Salatul Jum'ah, Umar radiallahu anhu stood up on the minbar and said, "Isma'u wa ati'u," people, listen to what I have to say and obey me. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, a very notable sahaba, stood up and decided to challenge Umar, saying, "We will not listen and not obey." "Why?" asked Umar. Salman replied, "You are a tall person, and your jilbab, or your cloth, is made up of two sheets. However, the quota of sheet that was distributed from the Baytul Mal upon your own decree was only one. So until you account for the extra sheet which you are wearing in the form of the clothing, we will neither listen or obey you." Umar announced that his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, be brought forward. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Inform the people where I got this extra sheet from." Abdullah ibn Umar duly came forward and testified before the whole majlis that "I was given one from the Baytul Mal, which I gave to my father. As my father is quite tall and could not make shirt from only one piece." The wealth that poured in Medina al-Munawwara was also unparalleled. For example, the incident of the Kisra throne arriving in Medina again will document it with its length, breadth, and height and weight. To top it all, the throne was accompanied by a crown which was so heavy that it had to be hung from the ceiling, and by the way, Caesar would stick his head in it every time he sat on the throne. That aside, the wealth from world over, like the rich Iranian empire, is again well documented. Despite the distributor of such wealth, he, Umar ibn al-Khattab, wore only one robe, and even that had 14 patches, and he only ate meat once a month. He was stabbed during Salah by a kafir and became true shaheed. Moreover, he became Kamil Shahada, and you could not get a better status of martyrdom than this. That's what happened. During the last few moments of his life, whilst dying, he asked his son to be placed on the ground. When done so, as a final gesture of humility, he started rubbing the dust of Medina on his face. And biggest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Here we have a Khalifa who managed a huge empire, conducted huge military campaigns. He held fast to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore met with amazing success. His conquests on behalf of Islam were unparalleled. After that, he was called upon to bring peace unto the vast empire. Here again, his success was unequaled. In short, Umar ibn al-Khattab made himself the fountain head from which flowed the undiluted blessing brought by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for mankind. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة وليكيب من الله سبحانه وليكيب أن تستحق. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Following are just words of wisdom traced and said by Umar ibn al-Khattab. Call yourselves to account before you are brought to account before Allah. Seek knowledge and cultivate the virtues of clemency and modesty. Be especially modest with your teacher. A wise person is not one who merely can distinguish between right and wrong, but is one who can distinguish between two evils, one of which is worse than the other. A person who behaves proudly actually suffers from deep sense of personal inferiority. True good morality has to be measured by the degree of resistance to anger in the face of provocation. He who conceals his secret is in full possession of his choices. Allahumma arina al-haqq haqqan wa arzuqna tiba'ah. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. اللهم انزع حب الدنيا من قلوبنا. اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك وأوليائك الصالحين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الربا والزنا والظلم والغش والكذب والبغي والعدوان. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على النعم يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.